To say the least, it's a joy to be with you today to study with you from the Holy Scripture during this time. There's been an awful lot about sadness to come to the congregation here at Crockett in the loss of a wonderful student, as well as a teacher, as well as a servant in our community. You have heard about, no doubt, the passing of Travis Gulick, and how that he had gone through 18 days of hospitalization, and the virus was finally very successful at overcoming his heart and his life. We will miss him, of course. At the same time, we will reflect upon his life in this lesson today. He was a man that was fine as far as his life was concerned, wanting always to be a pleasing servant of God. He was willing to help others, whatever the hour and day and time was. And as a locksmith for many, many years, and might I add, an excellent locksmith, he was able to help people into cars that they had locked and not intended to do that. He helped people into houses that they had locked and not intended to be locked after they were left there. Yet he was there to help them out and show them the way in which they could go forth in life with a friend, because he was that friend to help them get back once again into activity. We loved him and enjoyed him a great deal. And he loved people and loved folks to do right and do good. He was one who was willing to help. And because of that, today let's talk about what the Lord intended for your life and mine in assistance to other people. Jesus, our Lord, when he came to this earth, he talked about things of love. In John chapter 14 and at verse 15, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." If we love him, we'll follow his way, we'll pursue his activities in the way that he has taught us that should be done. What did he teach us about love? He taught us the willingness of a person to serve the Lord God of heaven, his heavenly Father. In John chapter 12 and at verse 49, Jesus said, "The word I speak unto you are not my own, but my Father gave these words to me. These are the words and commandments of the Father. This is the teaching of the Heavenly Father, and I'm teaching this unto you." He had just said in John 12 and 48, "He that rejects me and receives not my word hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." It is the case that the Lord's word was his word that was going to be the standard of judgment at the last day. But then he went on to say, "For these are not my words only. The Father's words, these are the words of the Father. And he wants people to behave this way and do this way. And I'm teaching this unto you because the judgment is based upon the word of the Heavenly Father." Are you following the Lord's word today? How can we know what the word of the Father is? We can look at what Jesus was saying about his Heavenly Father's words and the words that he was speaking and using, teaching others to worship God in spirit and in truth, John 4, verse 24. But he was also teaching people how to live in a day-to-day activity, one with another. A lesson last week was in regard to a relationship that we maintain one to another in keeping with God's standards and God's will, so that we can help each other as we go through life. But more than this, today, I'd like to emphasize the fact that now that one has come and gone from our presence, and all these years have been faithfully served and loyally served. This congregation loved Travis and loved his activities. He was the right hand of a lot of people in all the activities within the congregation that needed attention. And because of that, he was loved and respected highly. He'll be missed now that he is missing from this earthly scene. But in this process, we go back and reflect upon what he wanted us to teach and what he wanted us to practice and what he wanted us to do. For you see, mankind has a way in which we serve God. And we want God to be served more so than our own life to be served. And because of that service that God renders to us, we have a wonderful way of life going forth. And because of that way of life going forth, we have the opportunity to teach others God's name and God's will. Think about the name of the living God of heaven. How that he sent his Son. In John 3 and at verse 16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now some people take that particular verse, meaning that it is the salvation verse of the Scripture. And Jesus is speaking it in regard to the Heavenly Father. But I want you to observe something else that he said there in this regard. In John 3 at verse 16, "For the Father so loved the world." He so loved the world. The love that is a love that God wants us to have is a love that does not end because we find another one to take the place of the one before. We have a love that goes on and on and on. Because it strengthens us and it strengthens others around about us who remember that individual, that service that was rendered, that activity that was done. And when Jesus came to this earth, he came as a result of his Father sending him. His Father so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. This is the Son of God. He came to earth to live among mankind, to teach the will of the Heavenly Father, to practice that will of the Heavenly Father before man's eyes. And he did that successfully. He went to the cross of Calvary, not because of crimes that he had done and sins that he had done, that they recognized and they wanted to get rid of him. But they wanted to get rid of him because he was teaching a way for them all to practice in the future. A way of practice that they could worship God in spirit and in truth. John 4, verse 24. That they could serve God by worry of their fellow man as they would go about their activities in life. Notice that as we do this, we'll have the opportunity to serve the cause of the Heavenly Father in the spirit of life that he wanted us to follow. We have a spirit of life that could be personal and self-serving. We have a way of life that could be the only way that we want to see others practice. But it can be that we want to see God's word practiced out in their life because of the way that God wanted us to live and us to behave as we serve him. Think about the way of God. And think about the righteous way of God that he wished us to follow in his way. We often see the example of a person's life as we observe their habits. And as we observe their habits, if we see deception, if we see shortcomings, if we see that the work has been done in a shoddy way, we don't think very much of that individual nor the activity with which they're engaged. But if we see that individual sincere, coming to serve us at whatever hour we really are there and in need of help, if we see that individual sincere, that word sincere carries with it the idea without wax. As the ancient days when they had the people along the sides of the road that would sell goods and wares, and they had the vases that were there, and those vases might have a crack. It might have been that it just wasn't done in a faithful way, and as a result, be a strong vase. But if it had a crack, the person would take some wax, and by way of that wax would anoint that particular crack in the vase. And that would work. It worked so long as there was not extra heat put in that vase, or extra cold put in that vase, and thus the crack would go back once again to its original form. But sincere was a word that was used in that day and time to speak of something that was done well and done effectively, regardless of how hot it got and regardless of how cold it got. This would be the way that they would find it always the case. The vase was purchased for a purpose, and that purpose could be served well. What about the life and activities of a brother that we loved a lot here at Crockett, named Travis Gullick? What about his life and activities? I'm sure there are those of you that may have had activities with him that are listening to this radio broadcast today. You remember a person who was faithful in the discharge of his duties and responsibilities? He was sincere in the way that he wanted to serve. I know that's the way he talked, at least. I know that's the way he came to visit and talk with me, at least. And I know that we will miss him greatly because he was genuine, he was sincere as he went about his work and activities. When we find ourselves looking at our lives, do we look at our life from a standpoint of what we can get away with, how we can serve in such a way that nobody recognizes that there's a crack in that way of life? Or do we do it in a sincere way, a genuine way? You know, there are people that work in this radio station. And as we work together in this radio station, I see the spirit of life that they have. This has been going on for many years of time. Over 30 years, I was involved in the local church here in the Batesville area. And over the last 8 years, I've been involved with the church at Crockett. And in regard to this way of life, if we see something that is sincere and genuine, it'll be there and useful for us when it's hot weather, when it's cold weather, when there would be a crack to show up and the wax would cover that crack for just so long as it wasn't too hot or too cold. And there it is, a crack once again. A leak is a part of that vase. In your life and mine, what kind of sincerity do we bestow upon the work with others? Are we genuine? Are we sincere? Are we without wax? Is it the case that when it becomes cold, there's going to be a crack that will show? There's going to be leakage that will be done. It'll be a sad situation to occur. Or will it be that what it is set out to be, way that it was advertised, is the way it really is? That our lives are filled with the idea of doing the service of God, the service of our Lord Jesus Christ, in the way that He's taught us and the way that He showed us that He would do. In the book of Romans chapter 8, our Lord through Paul is setting forth the idea of those who occupy their activities of life because of the flesh. And he says if they serve the cause of the flesh, they will die. It will last only so long, and there will be an end to it. But on the other hand, if we serve because of the Spirit that is within us, that Spirit of life that is in us, that Spirit of life that is from God, that Spirit of life that is from the Holy Spirit, and we go about life serving others in a genuine way, will they not recognize the difference? Will they not recognize the difference if we were simply to do what we could to get the money and get away from them and not be there anymore around them? Or would it be that our way of life is such that we're serving and we're genuine with it and we're sincere with it? We're without wax being needed to cover up a crack, a problem of leakage that will begin as soon as that crack is there. We'll be people who can call the service of God to right when we serve the Lord through our spirit of life within us. Read there in Romans chapter 8. Very vivid description of way of life. And how that way of life can't be according to the flesh. If we have that way of life according to the flesh, we will die. It's just the flesh being served. But if on the other hand we serve by way of the Spirit that he's talking about, it's a spirit of life that is really of God. We want to be people who serve in such a way that good is ultimately done. There are a variety of things that happen in our day-to-day activities of life. And those activities being done with the Spirit of God within us, we will be sincere and genuine, and the cracks will not show, and there will not be there to hurt us or harm us. We will be genuine as we go. That's the description that is given in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. When he says, "The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared unto all men." In that first century, Paul was able to get that message, and others were able to get that message to everybody in that world in which they lived. He said, "The grace of God that brings salvation." has appeared unto all men, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, I know you've heard me cite this particular passage in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, over the last several weeks of time. But I want you to observe the application that I've made with it. There's a way of life for us to behave. And as we behave that way, we'll deny ungodliness and worldly lust. Worldly lust is described by John in 1 John 2 as a lust that is of the flesh. It's a lust that is of the world. He says there in 1 John 2 in reference to this lust that is ungodly, he says that it is the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride or vainglory of life. If we find ourselves following in God's way, we say, but we're following a way that is unrighteous, a way that is of the devil, a way that is not of God, the hope that we have is going to be short-lived. It'll be found out. It'll be seen by others. There will be cracks providing leakage that will occur in our lives. But if we are people who follow the teaching of this grace of God that brings salvation, has appeared unto all men, teaching us, it teaches us to deny ungodliness. What are ungodly ways? Well, the lust of the eye, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. These things, he said, are not of the Father, but of the world. And he says the world passes away. The lust of the world will pass away. But as we serve God in a loyal fashion, we have a genuine, sincere way of going about the service of this grace that saves. The grace of God that brings salvation says, deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust. There are certain parts of some movies that you can say sincerely you did not realize was there, and they're ungodly events that took place. They were not of God. They were not the right things of God. It did not honor the right way of the Lord, but it honored the way of the world. Did you close your eyes? Did you put your fingers in your ears for the words that were used that were not of God? Did you find yourself getting up and maybe exiting that theater because the words and the mannerisms were ungodly? Or did you just become well acquainted with it? And now then, when it appears in another movie, why, it doesn't bother you at all. You just sit there and listen to the words that are used and the mannerisms that are being displayed on the screen, and you just go with it in a worldly way. That's what he's saying there. Deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust. And in order to do that properly, we need to do the positive side of Titus 2, verses 11 and 12. We need to do the positive side of living for the Lord. And what we say there is this: deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust, and live, really live, soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now here we are in the world in which we live. Here we are and we're in a movie house and we're watching a movie take place and it has ungodliness there. But we don't close our ears. We don't close our eyes. We don't just let it go and get out of there. But we sit there observing, enjoying, laughing at the things that are said and done, and misbehaving all the while. As we go about that way of life, we're not doing the things that the grace of God that brings salvation has taught us. We're making it a worldly way of life that we're serving, and we're serving it in such a way that we want that way to be the way of life for everybody around us. We don't want to be odd. We don't want to be different. We don't want to be people who show a way of life that is so different from the world. We want to be just like the world. And so, when we live this grace that's taught by Paul to the brethren in Titus 2, verses 11 and 12, that brings salvation, it's appeared unto all of us, teaching us to deny ungodliness and deny worldly lust and live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Now, we're in this present world, and here we are, and we put our fingers in our ears. We put our eyes shut. We kind of get ourselves up and go away from the words and the vulgar things that are being done there. We'll be stronger than we should be otherwise. We'll be more successful all the time than we should be otherwise. And because of that love that we have for the grace of God that saves us in His vocation of life, in His family, in the way that He wanted to serve. Now, did they all do the things that He urged them to do? No. Did they all practice a way of life that He urged them to practice? No. But what did He do? Did He change His course of life and His way of life and become a violent, volatile kind of person? Or did He genuinely serve in the locksmith trade of which He was a part in a genuine way? I want to suggest to you that's the way that He served. And because of that, Titus 2, verses 11 and 12 apply authoritatively. That's the way that He wants us to follow His will as we live. And we're talking about a way of life that we follow that is of the Lord. After all is said and done, we'll put into practice what He's taught us, the way that He's taught us to do. I hope that the memory in your life is a good memory of Travis Gullett. It is with me, and I'm delighted to present this lesson to you today from the Bible as to how we all should live. God bless you, everyone. This is Robert Rawson for the Crockett Church of Christ, Highway 4 West in Senatobia, Mississippi. God bless you, everyone.